First one we're going to look at this evening is in Genesis 11. No, Hebrews 11. We're going to get over to Genesis in just a minute. It's Miss Sarah, and she is an amazing woman. Been studying and looking into her life. But notice just a verse here, just one. Notice 11:11, and very interesting. In fact, the whole chapter is phenomenal. I know you know it. But notice, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't that wonderful? And if you have your Bibles there, underlined, judged him faithful. You know, it's okay to judge the Lord. We judge and say, Lord, okay, I can look at your character. I can look at who you are. I can look at your consistency in my life. I can look at what you've done in the past with me. And I judge what? You're faithful. And I can trust you and I can go. Now, let's look at this tonight, if you will, in your notes. And we'll jump around a little bit. We'll be in Genesis 11 in just a minute. But notice, again, you can really, you can't read through more than a couple chapters in the Bible before you read about some great women that God used in a mighty way. Although many times throughout Scripture, these women are not in the front of the story or circumstance, they are vitally important in every case and in every area. Now we will see how these women of all ages were used in a great way to fulfill the will of God and leave us a shining example of how to live by faith. As with men today, we know this, but there's a great need for godly women in this world. The world is full of self-centered women. They have one goal in mind, and that is to fulfill their own desires and live a life without the burdens of children or responsibilities. The church needs more women that are willing to submit their lives to Christ and lead a new generation in the ways and will of God. Now, I'm not talking about any of you women. You're shining examples. Okay. Notice in our first study, we will examine the life of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Now, according to the biblical account, we have just several descriptions of her, one of them being she was very beautiful. She was a very beautiful woman. Wherever she went, in fact, she received favor and often privilege because of her beauty. We won't get into all the details, but on at least two occasions, if you remember, where they went, the king or whoever it was noticed her and said, "Boy, she's beautiful. I'd like to have her." And Abraham said on one occasion, what did he say? "Hey, mate, tell them you're my sister or else they're going to kill both of us, okay, or take you and kill me." So we know her name, Sarai, means my princess, and was not changed to Sarah, which means mother of nations or princess to all, until she was 90 years old. Now think about this for a minute. Her name was changed to mother of nations or princess to all, yet she was barren, you know. And people often ask this, well, God playing games with me? He's not playing games. If he calls you something or names something, you can be that. We're called saints, but a lot of people don't live like a saint. Okay? You're called a saint, act like it, live like a saint. And so anyways, notice, not till she was 90, although beautiful, she desired one thing above all others. That was to have a child or have children. But she was barren. In fact, this is one of the first things Scripture mentions about her in Genesis 11:30. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 11 here. And notice what the first thing really mentioned about her is that she was barren. It says that she is a beautiful woman. She's got a lot of good things going for her, but the Bible doesn't really mince words. It sticks to it. Notice, and Sarai was barren. She had no child. That's kind of blunt, but it's true. Now, I like this. I put here Solomon, who had the most beautiful women in the world. In fact, during the time of Solomon's reign, we've seen this several times throughout history, but one of them being in the book of Esther. Remember, he sought throughout really the known world for the most beautiful women, and they brought those women to him. Well, Solomon did the same thing. He had the most beautiful women as his wives and concubines or whatever the case is, and they called it a harem, and the king would have a harem of women there and whatever the case, however he used them. Okay, but notice what he said. He had the most beautiful women, yet made this statement in Proverbs 31:30. He said, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Isn't that great? And so thinking about this, we're going to see tonight in this wonderful lady of faith how she truly exemplified what God called her, number one, but who she was supposed to be. Okay, now let's look at, first of all, the call of God. You're still there in Genesis 11. Go to, if you will, verse 29, because we're going to start out looking at how God begins to work with Abraham, and his name at the time, Abram, and Sarah, and see exactly what takes place here. But notice the call of God, first and foremost, if you're there, verse 29, it says this, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But as we said, Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, Lot and of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and son of Abraham's wife. And they went forth with him from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And so we find out, first and foremost, amen, the call of God to come out from where they were and to go another place. Now, notice this. She was now 65 years old when they began this journey of promise. Now, think about that. 65. They're already in retirement years. They're already collecting their Social Security. Okay, they're ready. They're set. Now, under this, number one, I put this, age is no factor. Age is no factor when God calls. You think about Moses. Moses was already retired on the backside of the desert. He'd already served his time in Egypt. He was now had a family, a wife and kids, and God comes to him on the backside of the desert. He says, I want to lead, take you and use you to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Well, it goes on and go forth. You know the story. David, we believe, to be about 16, 17 years old when he goes down into that valley to fight Goliath. And he is crowned literally the king at a very early age. Josiah, if you read your Bibles and you know this, we just read through this in our Old Testament. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years old. And yet we find he had the maturity to reign because when he was 16 years old, he actually began to set everything in order, kicked out all the pagan people, set everything right. Isn't it fascinating? We've got I won't go there, but we've got people that are in public places and authority, mayors, governors, and others, they couldn't find their way out of a wet paper sack. I mean, on a rainy day. I mean, how do we get out of this thing? Just punch a hole through it and you get out. You know, they can't figure it out. But we got people like Josiah that had the spiritual maturity that he was. Daniel, you know, three Hebrew boys that we believe them to be teenagers at this time when they said, listen, we want to do it God's way. And then we know Timothy and others like that were taken by Paul and used in a great way. Anyways, so we see here age is no factor. It is a willing heart. Notice 2 Corinthians 8:12 real quick. It's a willing heart. This is an interesting verse that I found several times to go back to. But notice what he says. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Meaning, again, part of this meaning that, and again, Paul's talking about the giving of the church and giving in the right way. But he says this, God's not going to ask you for something you don't have. Well, you need to give $100,000. You go, well, Lord, I didn't even have $1,000. You know, what do you have though? Right? What do you have? See, God wants us to give what we have. Have a willing mind, have a willing heart to say, Lord, if you want that vehicle, I'll give it. If you want me to give that money, I'll give it. I can do that. So it's a willing heart that he's looking for. Under that letter B, it takes submission. Not silence, meaning we use the excuse of not hearing. I do that often. Well, what'd you say, Lord? I didn't hear you. You know, and he calls out to Samuel. Remember, Samuel. He comes in. Eli says, what? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Boy, comes back again. You called me? I didn't call you. And Eli said, well, he calls you again. Say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And sure enough, he called again, said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he expounds to this young boy, Samuel, all that he's going to do with Israel. So it's submission, not silence. Again, it will take letter C. It's going to always rearrange your life. Mark 10:28, he says this. He says, this is going to rearrange your life. It's going to do something. Notice Peter began to say to him, lo, we've left all and followed thee. What's in it for us? And the Lord Jesus in his great grace and mercy says, well, Peter, not only do you have salvation, not only do you have that, but your life now here on earth is going to be abundant. You have a lot of things other people don't have. But it's going to always rearrange your life. So notice, age is not a factor. Number two, God often allows for time of seasoning before the mission. And we know this to be true. There's a seasoning time. I wonder what they were doing for those 65 years prior to the call. I'm sure they were busy. Obviously, they were spiritual people. And they were busy for the things of God. Notice, Moses is in the desert. Moses is out in the desert. He's learning how to be a shepherd. Why? Because he's going to then shepherd the real sheep later on. And he learned what it was like to deal with stubborn sheep and sheep that complain all the time and cry, and they're always getting themselves into trouble and dirty and all these things. All the stuff he's dealing with. Paul in Arabia. We know Paul, according to Galatians, he went up into Arabia. He said, I didn't go to consult with Peter in Jerusalem or those that were of the faith in the church. I God sent me out into Arabia, and we believe that out in that time in the desert, God began to work and show him really had to unlearn a lot of things, by the way, and learn. Titus on Crete, he said, this is why I left you on Crete, to set in order the things that were wanting. And old Titus had to stay there. We believe him to be a, kind of a relatively young man at the time, maybe in his 20s. He had to stay on that island of Crete and deal with all these pagan people. Paul says they're slow bellies, they're lazy, they're evil, they're self-centered. And old Titus, he's sent there. But it takes time, seasoning. So remember, just at any time, God can call you to a new endeavor, new mission. Thirdly, the Lord challenged her biggest insecurity. This is something that was pointed out to me as I was studying this. The biggest insecurity, it wasn't that Sarah was this beautiful woman and faithful and she had all these good things. She could cook well. She was very hospitable. What was it? She was barren. And he pointed that out. But notice what it is. He chose her insecurity, her shortcoming, her detriment, or whatever you want to call it, for what? So he can show his power through that. He wants to show his power through that. Now, thinking about this, we must give everything to the Lord, even our weaknesses. We assume that we've given, oh, Lord knows my weaknesses. He's not going to use that. Well, he might want to use that instead of over my maybe talent or whatever I think I can do well. We must give it all to him. And a good line of thinking that I wrote down that I've tried to live by, haven't done very good at it. But listen, if you can fix it, then fix it. This is about yourself and about me. If you can fix it, then fix it. If you got a bad attitude, if you got bad breath, I mean, you got you're something you can fix, fix it. Listen, if not, give it to the Lord, but don't allow it to hinder you and to be used as an excuse. Well, Lord, I can't because, you know, I'm, you know, in a wheelchair, or I can't because, you know, Lord, I come from a poor family, or I don't have all the talent and trick. Listen, if you can fix it, but if you can't fix it, just give it to the Lord, but don't allow it to become a hindrance. Now, letter B under that, our greatest hindrances lead back to unsubmitted areas in our life. The greatest hindrance we have today is probably, for me, I guess I could say, probably because of an unsubmitted area in my life. We think we've submitted every area to him, but it's not so. And that's why he allows us, we said on Sunday morning, to put us through maybe a time of testing or time of difficulty. It's like the old tea bag. You put the tea bag in that hot water and what's inside comes out. And that's what happens. What's inside happens to come out. The attitude or that aggression or that fear, anxiety. So sometimes it can be that. Letter C, our biggest shortcoming might be our greatest asset. Notice 2 Corinthians 12. I like this. 2 Corinthians 12. Oh, he's on it. Thank you. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said, I asked the Lord three times, he would take it away. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Notice that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I like that. What's the next verse? Yeah. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so he's emphasizing that. He says, I've asked the Lord. Now, some people have asked, what is that thorn in the flesh? Many people believe this, but I'm kind of a proponent of it as well. But he had some problem with his eyesight. He had a type of glaucoma or something, and he struggled with it. And he asked the Lord, Lord, would you heal me of this three times? And the Lord said, no. Basically, he wanted him to have it for a reason of what? Bringing glory to the Lord. So again, our biggest shortcoming, I guess, might be one of our greatest assets. I don't know what do you struggle with. It might be something you could use in a great way. The only way you could reach that person is to open up about your own cancer treatment. You know what I mean? The only way maybe you could reach that person is the only way is maybe you talk about your divorce or your separation or the kids you had in a relationship prior to me, whatever the case is. We can look at some of that and something like it. So using it and again, giving it to God. But he pointed out her biggest insecurity and used that in a mighty way. Let her be then. She faithfully followed in spite of the uprooted life. Go back, if you will, Genesis 12 and notice verse 5. It says, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So they followed and went out and did what God wanted them to do. Now notice it took faith and fellowship, not fellowship, fellowship. In order to have fellowship, you have to have fellowship. You have to follow the Lord you have to follow whatever the case is in your life. Following, it took faith and fellowship. She could have said, Abram, no thanks. Listen, I'm 65 years old. I can't go on that journey. Why don't you let me stay here? You go and do what God wants you to do. And then he says, oh, no, Sarah, you don't understand. See, I need you. Okay, I have to have you. I can't fulfill the promise without your womb. I can't fulfill the promise with Hagar later on. I need you. I need your womb. I need your DNA. I need you. And so understanding this. Now, we follow the Lord and not man. We know this. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? And looking at, this is 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We keep our eyes on him. We're not looking to man. We're not looking to man's authority or man's opinion even. We're looking to him. Am I pleasing the Lord? Abram, letter B, clearly had a faith that she could follow. That's it. Hebrews 13:7 is the one I was looking for. Yeah. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Notice this. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Conversation being their lifestyle. And so he says, consider those in authority, spiritual authority, and follow that faith. Paul would later say this, and he says it to one church. He says, listen, when I stop following Christ, don't follow me. And again, emphasizing today, we have a lot of man worship. The guy has had however many adulterous relationships. He's stolen money from the church, all kinds, and they still follow him. Oh, he's a great man of God. Well, hang on, he's disqualified. We can't have him up there in the pulpit. And so Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. Whose faith follows? So Abram, listen, flip it over. Clearly had a relationship. You know why wife and kids don't want to follow? Because of your walk, lack thereof. You know why your kids don't want to follow daddy and listen to daddy? Because of your walk or lack thereof. And again, preaching to myself here. You know why you can't get people to listen to the gospel or get them to come to church or whatever? Because of your testimony. Clearly Abram had a testimony that Sarah said, hey, I'll follow. I want to follow. Notice, we must all take personal steps of faith. We have to do it. It's not just, again, it's not a corporate thing. We do take steps of faith as a church, as a family, but we all must take personal steps of faith. God's calling us each day to do something like that. Letter D, then, it took submission to God and emptying of self, as we already said that, submission to God. So number two, then, she took into account the materialism is temporary. It's temporary. Again, we're not sure exactly what Abram and Sarah had at the time by way of finances or material, but we know, according to the Bible, that he had a lot. In fact, we know that Abraham was wealthy, according to the standards of the time, I guess putting it into perspective there. But he was wealthy, well known. And he had a lot of flocks, had a lot of cattle, had a lot of sheep. I mean, people looked up to Abraham. I said, boy, hey, do you have any advice on my financial status? You know, he had a lot of people around him, and thinking about this, they had to take into account materialism is always temporary. Her priority became fulfilling his will, meaning the Lord's, over her will. We know this, to gain life, we must always die to self. John 12 and 24, he says this, and he says it very clearly. He says, listen, the corn of wheat must fall and die, right, before we can. Oh, thank you, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So again, there's that picture of the dying seed falling to the soil and then bringing forth much more in abundance. So we know that. She loosened her grip on things, I guess you could say it. She really let go of that thing. And again, it's temporary. A billionaire, I think, was asked this one time, said, when will you be satisfied with enough? And he says, I just need a little more. I just need a little more. When will you be satisfied with enough is enough? Enough money, enough cars, enough women, enough houses. I just need a little more. Isn't that the case today in America? I just want a little bit more. I want more. And so we understand it and see it. She loosened her grip on things, temporary things. She left her comfort zone in order to follow his will. And that's very clear. Her comfort zone. her house and whatever the case it was, her friends, her family, and followed the Lord. Letter C, then, notice the hope of fulfilling the promise despite the impossible circumstances. Now, the promise was nearly impossible, meaning the impossibility of it, but biologically, it was impossible physically, it was impossible even practically. Notice Genesis 18 and verse 12. I like this. But thinking about this, this was literally physically impossible. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? and you know that. We don't need to explain any of that. She's saying, listen, we're old. I can't. He can't. No, it ain't going to happen. Okay, this is where it is. It was nearly impossible, but I love this. The Lord thrives and always thrives in doing the impossible. Matthew 19, 26, he says that, right? The Lord does that which is impossible. Jesus beheld them, I like that, and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's not just cliche. That's not just whatever you want to call it. It is true. He does the impossible. He does the impossible. And he's not looking for talented but trusting participants. We don't have to meet this standard or checklist, you know, do you have all these things in order, then I'll do the impossible. No, what is it? It's willing. I'm trusting. I'm willing to go. I'm trusting you to do it. You use me. He's looking for trusting participants in this. So literally, it was impossible. It's not going to happen. And I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with today. But it is possible. Say, I could never do that. I can't go to school. I wonder if I'll ever get married. I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know if we're ever going to make it through this time. Whatever. I don't know what you're dealing with, but it is, remember, you're serving the God of all possibilities. Number two, the timing of the Lord was inconvenient. So not only impossible, but inconvenient. And this is the problem that I deal with daily, and I know you do too as well, that the timing of the Lord is what bothers me the most. Doesn't it? Because I want it now. Give it to me now. I don't want to wait more than 6 minutes at the drive-up. You know, I want it now. Everything is now. It's immediate. And that's why we get so addicted to that thumbing through our phones. Real, real, video, video, video. We don't want to wait for the commercials. And we get irritated at that. That's the society we live in today. But the timing, 1 Peter 5, 6 clarifies. The timing of the Lord is always perfect. It's always. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice this, and he may exalt you in due time. Anytime you see that in the Bible, due time, it's always referencing God's timing. He will say this in, I believe it's 1 Timothy, but he says in due time, God brought forth what? His son, born of a virgin. It was in due time, God's perfect timing. God's timing is always perfect, and we know that, but it was inconvenient for her. Why didn't you call me Lord when I was 35? Why didn't you do this, Lord, when I was 25? I mean, shoot, why didn't you call me when I was 15? What was it? He said, well, I wanted to season you a little bit. I wanted to wait to where people look and go, Sarah, 90, Abraham, no way, they can't do it. Sure, no, he wants to do it. No, we've said this many times, his hand is on the thermostat. He knows where you're at. He knows how much you can handle. And sometimes he does push us. Listen, again, if it doesn't challenge us, it doesn't change us, right? Doesn't challenge you. The heat isn't turned up underneath us. We get real comfortable. We get real lazy as Christians. Lazy, laid back, comfortable. Well, I'll show up to church on Sundays for 45 minutes and that'll do me just fine. Or I'll do this or that. I'll pray a little bit here. Pray. No, God sometimes put a little fire under us to say, hey, you might want to get on this thing. And we see it. Now, we see let patience have her perfect work. James says that. James 1:4. Let patience have her perfect work. The perfecting work, literally what it means in our lives. Patience brings forth a perfection in us. The hope, thirdly then, was in the promise, not in the evident facts. I added that just people want facts, don't they? They want what's called the empirical evidence. Let me see it, and then I'll do it, Lord. Lord says, I don't work that way. Let me see where you're going to put me. Let me see where we're going to end up in 10 years. And then let me see what kind of finances we have. And then, no, Lord, don't work that way. Lord says, I want to know if you're trusting me and you believe in me, and the hope was in the promise, not the evident facts. I trust in your promise. Okay, secondly then, notice not only the call, but the remedy to her problem. Now go to Genesis 16 and verse number 2 here. We fast forward a little bit in this story. And again, we've read through the book of Genesis at the beginning of the year. in our Bible reading. But Genesis 16, notice, verse 2, and Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of her. Now, she didn't really have to persuade Abram too much on that one. And said, here's this young gal, Hagar, going unto her, and we're going to just fix this thing right now. We're going to figure out what's going on here. Sure enough, he did. There's the remedy. And what was it? Letter A, really, it was leaning unto her own understanding. Again, I don't need to quote from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it, but what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's one of the biggest problems we have. The remedy to her problem. First of all, notice she waned in her trust. She waned. I don't know what to do. Now, here's what we do. I guess I should say I do. But when we see, I believe the promise, Lord. I've followed you. I've left home, family, friends. I've followed you now out here. And we're doing what you want us to do. We've been waiting for so long. We've been waiting and waiting. Now, Lord, I think I need to maybe hasten it a little bit. Let me help you out a little bit and figure this out. You know, let me give you some advice and let me try to do something on my own. And the Lord said, no, I don't need any help. And in fact, what comes of this, you know this, but this young gal that they picked up along the way, Hagar, she would eventually, you know, birth Ishmael, which today his descendants are still at odds and enemy with Isaac even today, right? God's people. They're still shooting rockets as we speak right now over into Jerusalem and vice versa. They're fighting amongst each other. And so we see this and find very true. This is something that should have never happened, but it happened because that two people refused or stopped. I guess I should say trusting the Lord like they're supposed to. She waned in her trust. Isaiah 40, verse 31, you know well, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Again, that word wait is not that of hesitating, waiting, stopping, sitting, sulking, and souring. No, what is waiting? It's to serve. You're a waiter, you're a waitress. That's what you're doing. You're serving. And when you're active for the Lord and you're serving the Lord, what happens? Your strength is renewed. You have a vigor. You have this excitement about God. You have these things. Man, what can we do to help out at the church here? What can we do to reach more people for Christ? I'm just excited. I want to be here. I want to do what God wants me to do. Number two, she wanted to fix the problem. I like this. 2 Samuel 11, if you're there. 2 Samuel 11, or look right up here, he'll have them. 2 Samuel 11, this is interesting to me. Did you know this? In fact, I forgot about this until I was reading this just recently. That David sent the death letter, the death warrant of Uriah. He sent it in Uriah's hand, said, go give this to Joab. This is crazy. Came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Remember, that's the husband of Bathsheba. And he wrote in the letter saying, set you Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. Isn't that crazy? He sent the death letter in his own hand. What a rascal. I mean, what a conniving. I mean, you got to be sick. But David was trying to what? Cover his sin. Here, Uriah, take this letter, give it to Joab. Joab opened it up. Can you imagine him opening it, reading it, looking at Uriah, and then quickly folding it up, putting it away in his pocket, like, oh man, poor guy. And sure of Joab, as we read this a couple weeks ago, but Joab felt bad about that. And David would later say, oh, tell Joab not to feel bad, just encourage his heart, encourage him. It's okay. It happens to everybody. Some die in battle, some don't. It's just how things go. It's covering his own sin. And so enough, he sure enough sets Uriah up to the front, his hottest part of the battle. And there's the archers on the top of the wall, pshoom, shot an arrow straight through his head, probably. He died. I mean, that's what you're talking about now. I think about that. That's to me, she in this point wanted to fix the problem. David wanted to fix the problem, and he wanted to fix it now. I want to cover it up. I want to fix it right now. And sometimes you don't care who you hurt. You don't care who gets wounded. You don't care whose back you step on, whose face you kick dirt in to get to the place you want to be. Now listen and notice, Sarah at this point, she wanted to fix the problem. She didn't care about Hagar, by the way. Remember, we didn't have time to look at that, but she kicks her out later. Get out of here. Take your son and get out of here. Kicks her out. She goes out into the desert. God comes and visits her, helps her. gives basically a prophetic statement to Hagar and the son. He's of him is going to arise nations and all these things. But it was hurtful. And she messed things up, just to point out that she's just a human being like all of us. But thirdly, she wearied as time passed. She wearied. Time passed, she got tired. Paul will reiterate this in the New Testament. He says, listen, you're weary and well-doing. I put this one here. I like this. Psalm 123:2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. I mean, looking unto it, serving, waiting. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until we, that he have mercy upon us. You have that anticipation, that waiting. Do you need anything else, Lord? Can I do anything else? Are you comfortable? Can I get you anything? Not only that, but also that the maid and servant are waiting to get paid too. You know, waiting in anticipation for that. The Lord will reward us and take care of us. But in her, she wearied as the time passed. She tried to lean into her own understanding. Let her be. Acted upon reasoning and not faith. Reasoning and not faith. As we read 16 verse 2 already, but she said, I want to know what to do, and I'm going to go ahead and just do it because I haven't heard from God in a while, and we better just start handling this thing before I die. Now, her issue was with his timing. We already said that. If you're Genesis 21:2, I think I have the right verse there. Do I have that? Genesis 21. Yeah, for Sarah conceived to bear Abraham a son in his old age. Notice this, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And that set time, you know, set means perfect. To set something, it sets, perfect. It's perfect timing at the set time. Did I not tell you that I would do this? Yes, I'll do it. I know where we're at. I know what you're doing. So the issue was with his timing. Notice her insinuation was that he forgot his promise. She was insinuating, Lord, you forgot your promise. Lord, you messed up. I think you forgot about us over here. We've been at this little church over here for a while, and Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, we've been waiting on you to provide for this financial situation, this problem. We've been praying for our child to get saved, our daughter to get right, our son to get right with you, get off this drug and this alcohol. Lord, what's going on here? You forgot about us, I think. Psalm 13, do you have that one? Yeah. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? ? Now he's asking that. He's not being caustic or mean when he's saying that. He's not accusing God. He's just asking the question, Lord, how long will you forget me? Have you forgotten about me? That's how I feel, he says. So she's insinuating that he forgot. Notice thirdly, her insecurity was her age and lack of ability. If you're there in Genesis 21, notice verse 6 and 7, she speaks again. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. How old was she? No way. Yes. Yeah, it happened. Verse 7, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. See, people are going to laugh. But her insecurity was her age and lack of ability. The Lord is physically impossible. I can't do that. I don't speak well. I can't be used. No way, Lord. We can't do that. Yes, if we trust. And now again, fourthly here, her insistence was to give him a child any way possible. Now, we already read about Hagar, but her insistence, let's get it. Let's get it done. Now, I put next to it compromised convictions. And any time we step ahead of God, we must always compromise our convictions. If you're going to get ahead of God in anything, you have to compromise your convictions somewhere. You have to set those things aside and do what you need to do in order to do that. And I've talked to young people before, and you have as well, that are trying to, maybe they're about ready to get married or something, and sometimes you know it's not the right person, or it's somebody that's unsaved, it's somebody that's maybe not a very good influence, but they fall in love, don't they? And then you can't get them out of it. Oh, but I love them. I love her. It's stuck, you know. And to get to a point like that, some point, somewhere, you had to compromise your convictions. In every case, you know, we think about that. So her insistence was, let's get him a child any way possible. Hey, I'm fulfilling the will of God. I'm doing what God wants me to do, aren't I? No, you're not doing it God's way. And I'll tell you something, and I'll say it again, and I know I'm preaching to you dear folks that know the Bible, but if you just stick with this book, it will not let you down, right? You just, every area of your life, your diet, the way you sleep, the way you, well, not your sleep because it's terrible, but all those things, every little area of your life, it'll show you what to do. Just stick with the book. Just stick with it. Thirdly, then, let's wrap it up here. The faith to bring forth the promise. Now go back to Genesis 18 here. The faith to bring forth the promise. And this is very true. I was studying this week and I thought about it. What a great faith. Yeah, she messed up. She had some issues. We would have probably done the same thing. I bet she's a woman of great faith. She trusted the Lord. Verse number 10 there, if you're there. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Yeah. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I like that. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. It's just a little dialogue between her and the Lord. Remember that. I didn't laugh. Yeah, you laughed. No, I didn't. Yes, you laughed. I would have laughed too. I'm going to bear a child? There's no way. But thinking about it, the faith. Now, first, letter A, obviously, it took great faith. I like Romans 4:19 if you have it. Romans 4:19, a fascinating verse again. But it talks about the faith. Notice, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Notice, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Lord can wake that womb up real quick, right? I mean, we think about that. Not dead in faith. So many people today, dead in faith. They come to church. Yeah, they read their Bible. They pray. They try to lead their family. Right? They're just dead in faith. You ask them to do something. No, we can't do that. You ask them to help out or step out by faith in some way. No, I can't do that. Now think about, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It is literally impossible to please the Lord without faith. You've got to use and yield yourself to him and use the faith God's given you and increase that faith. Number two, she judged him faithful who promised. And that's the verse we started with. Hebrews 11:11, she judged him faithful. Letter B then, this tried her physical, emotional, and mental state. Now, Romans 12 clarifies to us, we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You and I cannot serve God and live this kind of great faith in the great, exercising great faith with the impossibilities and a God that does the possible. We can't do it in our normal state of being. Why? We'll lose it, man. We'll get burnt out. Sarah's going, man, it's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. I'm about to die. Lord, what should we do? You'll burn out. You'll die. You'll quit. We've got so many people that have quit on God. It tested her. It tried her. We must be transformed, not just reformed. Like the world says, we need to be transformed. Literally, that word means made new. Okay. Metamorphosis. To become new, something more, something better. We sing the song, the arm of flesh will fail you. You must trust the Lord. So on and so forth. Okay, the last one here. Notice number two. We are but earthen vessels that he will fill. And then I put, if empty. You can't fill something that's already full. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does, right? You can't fill something that's already full. We've tried it over and over again. I'm going to add a little bit more. And the water's to the brim. I'm sorry, there's no more room. What if I empty the cup out? Lord, now fill it, right? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. And that's how it goes. That's the process. 2 Timothy 2, we won't read all of that, but he just talks about, he points out and he says that, listen, a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That's what God will do with a vessel that's empty. And God used Sarah, God used Abraham, obviously in a great way. She would bring forth the promised seed, the promised son, and Isaac, that from him, he would birth great nation. And we see that Jacob and Esau, and form that, the 12 tribes, and so on and so forth, and God's promised people. And we thank God for people that have the great faith. Lastly here, I just put, the promised seed came forth from a woman who was willing to trust a faithful God, no matter the situation or circumstances. in a world of such faithless and fickle people, she made the decision to believe and follow her husband on a journey of faith. Because of her obedience and sacrifice, untold millions throughout the centuries have embarked upon this journey of faith. And I end with that quote. Maybe you've heard it before. I like it. When all seems impossible, trust the God of possibilities. He's a God of possibilities. You're at the end of your road, or maybe a fork in the road somewhere, a dead end in your faith or something you're struggling with. I want to encourage you with that. He's the God of possibilities. He'll help you through it. You say, man, it's impossible. No way. Yeah, look at Sarah. Sarah said, no way. The womb is dead. Abraham, he's over. He's past age. It ain't happening. No way. God says, yeah, hang on. At a set time, I'm going to visit you. And although she laughed, she later would rejoice in God, and a God that's faithful and true. Amen? So I hope that helped you in some way. Maybe you could apply something there in some great way. Okay, we're going to continue looking at some of these great women of the Bible. Hopefully be a blessing to you and a help. I like looking at character, called character studies of the Bible, but looking at characters in the Bible because it helps me tremendously. I look at them and go, okay, if God used that guy, okay, surely. All right, he messed up, she messed up, they're just like us. God's looking for faithful people that he can use in a great way. All right, anyways, thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate all of you coming out. And Lord willing, we'll see you all on Sunday. All right? Lord, thank you for this evening again for the opportunity to share your word. And I thank you for your grace here. We looked at a lot of verses, a lot of information here. I hope we can maybe take it home and at a little slower pace digest some of it, Lord. And we just ask for your grace. Help us. Thank you for Sarah and Abraham. Great, great testimonies, Lord, we can look to. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.